Hey everybody, yes, welcome back to episode number 62 of the Paid Search Podcast. Thanks for so much for being here. Thanks for listening. This episode, Chris, man in the tightest yoga pants, is all about the listeners. Chris, I'm not going to ask you about July 4th. I'm not going to ask you about fireworks. I'm not going to ask you about hair gel. I'm not going to ask you about finally tailored custom shirts.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm going to ask you about our listeners' questions. Chris, why don't you tell everybody what the heck we're doing here today?
Yeah, as we teased last week, what we're doing this week is answering questions from the people that we love the most, our listeners. We get questions from our form on our website. We get questions on YouTube and Twitter. So we've tried to pile as many of those questions as we can into one big list, and we're going to answer those. So we have about 11 questions to get through. We'll get through what we can. And some of these I've answered over email. I'm a bit heavy on the email answering. I just love our listeners, so I'll answer sometimes. So I'm going to answer these again for all you guys to enjoy the answer on air here. What better to do than let's just get started. Jason, we don't have to talk about how nice you look today. Our YouTube watchers can appreciate that for themselves.
Yeah, over 100 subscribers growing every week here, Chris. So the first question here from Bhavesh. Number one, is Chris your dad?
Wait a second.
Is it better to set up campaigns with keyword-specific domains or just use your company's domain? So, Chris, this can apply to whether you're doing a landing page or not. That's not really the question. It's more about, like, regardless of what you're doing, does the domain matter for AdWords performance, for quality score? And I think his example, people were pitching him on, you have to have the keyword in the domain. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, well, you know, sometimes it's very easy for agencies and managers to, as we like to say here in Texas, the deep Southeast Texas, I've heard this said many times, now you're sorting the pepper with the fly poop. Okay, so what that means is you're getting too detailed. You're trying to pick out something that's so small, so minuscule that in the end, is it really worth the trouble? You know, just go ahead and eat the fly poop with the pepper. You know, it doesn't really matter at this point, because here's my thoughts. Swap the tables. Who are you bringing to the site? You're bringing to the site people that want to hire you or purchase your product. How much more difficult are you making it if you have 15 different domains and you're sending them? It's going to be confusing. They're going to wonder, is this the same site? Is this a different site? You know, yesterday I was here, I Googled it again. Now I see this site. This is a completely different domain. It's going to be complicated for those people. So my thoughts are, keep it easy for the end user. Just use your domain. If there is some kind of benefit, it can't be so precise that it's going to make a massive difference in your quality scores. That's my thought.
Chris, I'm on the same page. Like if Bhavesh called me and I want to reach these nice big fingers into his wallet and just take out as much money as possible,
there you go.
I would just make stuff up like this and say, well, we got to have a keyword in the domain because we got to have 50 landing pages. Each landing pages, we're going to host that for X amount of dollars a month. I've never run into this, and don't worry about it. Focus on your AdWords campaign, Bhavesh. No. Focus on the keyword search terms, bids. Don't worry about the domain. Don't have something stupid. Like if you're advertising for a moving company, don't say CJ's Plumbing or whatever.
Yeah.
But if whatever the name of your business is, it should be fine. So number two here, Chris.
Off to a good start already. That's just solid stuff. That's so honest.
You like it? Yeah. And guys, real. We got a lot of questions here. We banked them. So this next one, Chris, is a little passive aggressive. CJ asked us, what are the best resources for learning about AdWords, both books and websites? Oh, I don't know.
No,
maybe the free podcast that we come out with every week, CJ.
I took off.
Is this not enough for you, CJ?
I took off the rest of the question. He said, obviously, other than your podcast.
Oh, so you did.
What he's wanting to know, CJ, I'll try and represent you here because I actually read the emails, Jason.
Oh, I read
what he said was, what resources would you say is kind of your unofficial guide that you guys get information from? He wants to know, you know, what, where do you get your information from? And Jason, you and I have mentioned it before. I like the book that we both have read, and I've read multiple times. I even do my training out of it. I use it as kind of a textbook. Is Advanced Google AdWords by Brad Geddes.
Yep.
Great book. Always keeping it updated. There's multiple editions. I think we're on the third edition now. It's always relevant. Very detailed. I've honestly read it cover to cover twice, I think, because I had to. For training. So that would be my number one thing. The rest is honestly just kind of, you know, Twitter and different sources. I don't really have a solid place I go to. I just click on anything about, you know, it looks interesting that I might come across for as far as news and updates.
Right. So for me, as far as news and updates go, Google AdWords official blog, Search Engine Land, that's pretty much all you need to stay abreast of new updates. As far as learning AdWords, you got the podcast. Honestly, Chris, I've got interesting stuff on my website, my newsletter. Support, I forget the exact domain, but if you Google in AdWords help, the official AdWords help is just stocked with thousands and thousands of free little articles explaining what every little thing is. I've learned a lot from there. The 1-800 number that you call in your AdWords account, I've learned a ton from those people, just peppering them with questions. There was one more here, Chris. I think that's pretty much it. But the last thing was just experience and being curious. So if you're in your campaign and all of a sudden you look at this dimensions tab and you've never seen it before, look up what it is. Do a Google search. You can learn a ton from Google searches. Really, there's no reason not to be able to learn AdWords and pretty much for free. And Chris, I do remember his question. He asked, are there anything that's worth paying for, any of those courses? I can't comment on them because I've never done it, but I can tell you me and Chris learned as much as we learned, I think, for free. It just takes a lot of time, but it's all for free out there.
I actually went to one of Brad Getty's classes.
Do you guys ever date? I mean, get off this guy, Chris.
10 years ago. I'm just saying, I've heard enough about this. Yeah. I did pay it.
Getting a little jealous here, buddy.
I never talked to him. He never calls me, you know, so I try and name drop all I can.
Did you like his course in person?
I did. I learned a lot. I learned a lot. It was very practical. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
All right, so number three, I'll take this one. This is from Dimitri. Dimitri had two questions, and I put both of them here because I like them. When you're doing remarketing from the display network, are your ads just – reiterating the same message that was on your site, or are you doing a softer sale? My answer for this is something I'm going to hold off on. Jason, what's your thoughts?
I'm going to hold off too, Chris. So. What? We got the old Texas showdown here.
Okay, fine.
No, I'm kidding. I'll go. So, I've never thought about going softer. For me, it's all about getting your brand out there. I had a guy call me this week, Chris, from actually a magazine that I get in the mail every month. They're wanting to expand from that print side into AdWords. So I was like, whoa, this is a big magazine calling me. The reason he called me is because he said, Jason, I went to your website to learn about AdWords. It was recommended to me, and you've freaking been following me around for 2 weeks. So I figured I'd just finally call in. And he actually said that. So for me, it's all about getting the brand out there. I'm not really telling people, buy this product for $3, call now for an instant quote. It's more about just branding and getting the picture out there.
Okay. Jason, this doesn't happen much. This has happened, I think, twice
on the podcast. Are we still on air?
Yeah, we're still on air.
Should I be in character?
No, is that Maggie? Because I think the same guy called me a couple weeks ago. Is it
Chris? No matter what you say, and don't say his brand because we shouldn't get in trouble. No matter what you say, I would say it's another magazine. Okay. I'm not going to sit here and sit in this tailored shirt and go on and on about how proud I was that this guy called me and then he called you. So no matter what it was, I'm not going to admit to that. Okay. So it's not even worth saying his name. And I highly doubt that it was the same guy, for the record. Okay. We'll discuss this.
We'll discuss it off air.
Or we won't, but I highly doubt.
I will, I will tweet. I'm going to tweet. I won't tweet who it is, but I'll just tweet if it's confirmed. So you guys follow on Twitter. Screw Facebook. So to answer this question, my thoughts are this. When it comes to remarketing, I really just like to just push the brand and push the awareness.
Exactly. You know, so we're on the same page.
I don't really like to say that it's necessarily, you know, this sale or this sale. When you see an ad from Amazon and it's one of those dynamic remarketing ads, it's just basically product and price. It doesn't say, hey, don't forget that it has a cool pink color to it, you know, right, or something like that. It's just product and price. So when it comes to remarketing, don't overcomplicate it. Just go with basic messaging. Hey, remember this? You looked at it 2 weeks ago. Don't forget about it. That's all it takes.
Yeah. If you're doing search, focus on search, getting the leads. If you're doing display, let's focus on branding like we talked about last week here, Chris. So why don't you take us, Demetrius has two, and I refuse to ask one of his questions. So,
yeah. So when writing your ad descriptions, what sort of best practices do you suggest? This is also from Dimitri.
Descriptions. Let's key in on that.
Ad descriptions, specifically the secondary part. So nowadays, a description is a very long list of characters that you can add. Basically, kind of, you know, a mini paragraph in my thought. I mean, it's super long compared to what we had before. So not the headline, but the description. Here's my thoughts. For the description, put in those things that might hook people as additional benefits or features that you don't mention in the headline. Don't repeat what you say. Don't say your company name. Don't say call now. You know, just unless you just want to grab a couple little extra characters you have at the end. The main thing you want to put here are benefits and features that you did not include in the headline. Little things like local, you know, we are in blah, 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 local area, or, you know, been in business for a long time, or, you know, extra good features in this area, whatever kind of messaging you want to put this, not necessarily good enough to put in the headline. That's what I put in the ad description.
Exactly, Chris. So I'm on the same page. The only thing I'd add to that is think about something that someone reading that cannot deny. So the other day I had a fence problem, Chris. I have a dog. It's kind of scary. I wanted to get my fence fixed. If I would have seen an ad description that said, we can get started today, or we can come fix it today, I could not deny that. I'd have to click and call them and get them out there that day. And here's to back up your point on this is not stuff that you put in the headline. You're never going to put in the headline, we can come to your house today. It doesn't really lend itself to a headline. So exactly what you're saying. Not all the stuff that you don't put in the headline, and don't repeat yourself.
Yeah.
So this next question here, Chris, is from our buddy Rob. And Rob is always there for us, liking our stuff on Facebook. So we appreciate that, Rob. So he says, the product that I'm selling would be great for fathers on Father's Day. Rob, you're a pimp?
Come on. It's like a razor, a shaver maybe.
Oh, okay. The product I'm selling would be great for fathers on Father's Day. What do you think of advertising on keywords like top Father's Day gifts? Chris, I've had way too many of these conversations in my life about this, so I'd appreciate if you take this one because I know we're on the same page.
Yeah. This is one of the examples that I could not keep my fingers off the keyboard because, like Jason said, this is something we hear a lot. A lot of good ideas about you know, like I want to reach these people that don't know that they want my product. And I want to catch them while they're searching for an idea for my product. It works, but man, is it expensive. And man, is it like searching for a needle in a haystack. You're going to get people that are researching. And when I think of the tiers of AdWords visitors, I think of, you know, the bottom funnel stuff are ready to buy. And then up towards the top, there's the researchers. I put them at a very low level of priority because they're unlikely to purchase. And when they're unlikely to purchase, they're not likely to convert and may bounce very quickly. And those shoppers, online shoppers for ideas, I don't like ideas is a word I put as a negative keyword. Ideas or gifts and things like that. No. I don't want those researchers. I want them, if they're unaware of it, maybe go after some display and try and get them aware using a cheaper method than spending $2 or $3.
Right. And how do you even know if someone searches ideas that they're wanting to buy online?
Yeah.
As opposed DIY. To go buy something that day. And Chris, I have a metaphor for everyone. You know, when you enter in your bank password, because you're on there at 2 a.m. when you're groggy because you're obsessed with money and it's a problem, and you enter in your password 3 times wrong because you're sleepy and you get locked out till the next day.
Wow.
Any search, anytime someone uses the word idea in their search, it's like their wallet's being locked out. Like, they're not taking out that credit card when they type in the word idea. So let's kind of be positive in the same sense, Chris. So if Rob says, all right, guys, your Debbie Downers on Father's Day gifts, what should I advertise on? And it's pretty much your product, the way people would search for what you're selling.
Here's my idea. I have a client that sells headphones for kids. And guess what? I don't advertise for the keyword kids headphones. You know what? Because it's too expensive. There's too many people out there that are searching and advertising for kids headphones. You know what I do advertise for? Bluetooth headphones, pink kids headphones, blue kids headphones. You go after those subcategories, you get much better quality traffic. You don't spend a ton of money, and the people are more likely to purchase because their features and benefits they're looking for are in your keywords already. If I were to put, you know, kids headphones in there, blow through his money like that and be over.
Right. I love it. So, Chris, our next question here is from Itai. He wants to know, how do you people listen to our earlier podcasts? We're on 62, so we have 61 in the bank, and we're just going to keep going and going. We post all of our previous episodes on our website. You can't get more than the last recent 30 on iTunes, but if you go to paidsearchpodcast.com, right there on the homepage, we have a player. You just scroll through it, and it goes all the way back to day one. So that's that. So, Chris, why don't you take this next one about not my favorite, to be honest. I had a mover this week ask me if we should run a Google Grants campaign with the max $2 cost per click, and I was like, it's just not going to happen.
That's a strange question. So this is something I had to push Jason on because he hadn't done a whole lot of it, but I know that there are a lot of you guys out there, nonprofit people that have Google Grants, and you're listening to this podcast and 80% of what we say doesn't apply to you because you can only bid $2, you know, but you have $10,000 to spend a month. So you're trying to ramp all this spend up. Go back, and we have a dedicated episode for managing a Google Grants campaign. Goes over lots of tips. I've done plenty of them. I've even reached a campaign that got to the premium tier level where you're able to spend $30K a month. So I've been successful with that. It's worked well, and definitely listen to that if you're interested in Google Grants.
Right. Next one here, Chris, is I would love to hear an episode of your views on Facebook ads versus Google AdWords from Brian. Brian asked that question. I've always thought about, you know, that could be a great debate. But the problem with that is which one of us wants to get that assassin's bullet in when we're getting our mail and take Facebook side of things.
Well,
I don't want to be the guy bashing Google on the Google AdWords.
There's a guy podcast in New York that I might make angry by voicing my opinion on this. But here's an he said honest, so I'm going to be honest. You know, we had a great guest on the show. You know, we may invite him back at some point.
David Shapiro.
Yes, thank you. He just needs to keep sending those $20 bills to me. But the honest thoughts that I have about Facebook versus Google is this. This is somebody who does not advertise on Facebook, only Google. So here's what I think. When I want a pair of shoes, when I want to go purchase a shirt, when I want to go get new gutters on my house, I don't pull up Facebook. I see some moms that do that might say, I need recommendations for new gutters. Anybody have good gutter companies? The problem is that's not necessarily how the ads work in Facebook. They don't, you know, you're not able to pick up on the fact that someone's searching for that or posting about that. You're able to center in on other things. So My thoughts are this. Facebook might work for one audience and one type of marketing. But when it comes to hard sell in the moment type of sales, I really like Google for that purpose. That's my honest thoughts about it.
Yeah, I appreciate those thoughts, Chris. I'm a little bit more open to it just in general, because we had David on here. He's telling us he's getting form fills and leads, going over a type of Facebook ad I didn't even know existed before we did that podcast, the form ads, lead form ads. So it's like, obviously it's a different kind of marketing. It's traditionally, it was more about branding. It's hard to argue with the demographic stuff they have on there, Chris, if you're going after certain audiences. The main word that comes to my mind is just different. It's different. There's a lot of people spending money on Facebook, so it's working for someone. That's my approach. But you know me, Chris, you and I, we're always on Google AdWords. So we focus on AdWords, but my main message is that it's just different. So that lends a question, should you be hiring the same person to do Facebook and Google ads? Maybe, maybe not, but we like to laser in on Google here. So next one here from Rob, Chris. Maybe Rob again, explain how Google determines how much it will cost for a keyword when there's no one else bidding on that term. So Chris, we've talked about it before. We've learned it from you, the Penny Saver program. Given quality scores being equal, you only have to pay a penny more than your competitor, no matter what you're bidding, no matter how much higher you're bidding than them. So in the cases where someone does a search and there's only one ad, why is that ad costing $2, $5, whatever it costs, and not a penny? This is pretty interesting. What did you find out, Chris?
Well, Jason, you sent me a link before we started the show.
Read the headline.
Yeah. And so you have a specific answer, but I'm going to give my conspiracy theorist answer.
Right.
And because that's basically what it is. You know, I don't really know. And Google doesn't even really, your answer is not going to satisfy.
Well, let me give my answer and then we'll give our feedback on it. So the answer is we don't really know. We did extensive research. I actually called in, Chris, and what they told me over the phone was basically something to the effect of, well, sometimes there's only one spot. What does that have to do with why it costs more than a penny? I don't know. So she didn't know, the person I talked to. I don't know. We did research. I found an article from 2007, Chris, and it was from Google's blog, Google AdWords blog, about common misconceptions. And it was attempting to answer the question that Rob has, but it didn't really give an answer. It had a paragraph on how you can get your bids lower through quality score. It had a paragraph on how sometimes just because you don't see anyone else's ad there, it doesn't mean you don't have competitors, because they could be targeting different areas or could be running at different times of the day. Again, that doesn't answer why when the ad shows up with no one else there, it's more than a penny. So we couldn't find an answer. And I don't think the answer is out there. So Chris, my take on that is that who knows, you know, obviously it's not costing a penny. It costs something, and Google's in control of their own program. So that means there's some answer to it, but it's not going to cost a penny. What's your feedback on that?
My thoughts are this, that there is a certain standard for different categories and different industries and different types of keywords, and all plays into quality score. I mean, you can have a quality score, but you're not really going up against anyone else with that quality score. You're just kind of going against just Google's standard. So imagine there were no other advertisers on a lawyer keyword. There's no way that lawyer is going to spend 25 cents for that. I mean, because lawyer standards are high. Even if there's no other competitors, they're going to end up paying $30-$40 for it. I mean, because that's just the standard. So I think that there are certain categories and certain levels and certain things. And you know, I think that that's part of the black box, and there's certain things that you know, are just going to cost a certain amount because they cost that amount, and there's a certain amount of demand for those keywords, whether there's advertisers or not.
Yeah, and I'm not a hater. I mean, Google has the right to be in business and make money. So
I'm not upset by it.
You know, yeah, neither am I.
I mean, it is what it is, and if you're willing to pay that price, then you pay it.
Yeah, just like people who sell billboards, and we know there's a lot of them with empty billboards right now. You can't walk up to them and say, hey, this billboard's empty. Your minimum fee is $3K a month, but I'm going to offer you a dollar. Don't you want a dollar to fill this empty billboard? That doesn't work for billboards, and that sort of thing wouldn't work on search ads. So there's no answer, but it obviously is going to cost more than a penny. So Chris, why don't you take this next one here?
Yeah. So the next couple, we're going to get a little more personal about, you know, we often get questions a lot about, you know, how do I start a business, or, you know, tell me about your own AdWords business and stuff. And we shy away from those because we are trying to earn a living on our own. And we're all about helping you guys understand AdWords, but we do try and give information about our business and how we do things. So these next two kind of push towards that area, because we do want to answer those where we can, where we are comfortable doing. So Paulo asks, what is the best tool you guys use for your AdWords reports in an efficient but fast manner? I've tried many tools, but they are time consuming and expensive. Okay, so first I'll say I totally feel you on the expensive part. I feel like the pricing for stuff like this seems a lot higher than I would expect. Time consuming, not so much once you get the feel of things, but expensive, yes. For a small freelancer, you know, that might have 40, 50 clients, I mean, you'll end up spending quite a few $100s per month for reporting. Jason, I know you have a reporting system that you've used for a while. I've tried out different ones. I'll briefly mention, you know, basically how it works is you set up a template and you're able to work off of that template. So you don't have to do every single client separately. That helps with the time consuming feature. So you can create reports on the fly. If you need a certain report for this or that, I mean, it can be done very quickly. Jason, what about you? I mean, what are your thoughts on reporting and how you do things?
Well, there's definitely, I would say this, if you do have, Paulo, a number of clients, say more than one, you should probably get into the business of using some kind of AdWords reporting software. I know that if you're looking at free options, AdWords has a lot of reporting solutions in that reports button at the top of the page. So you might want to look there. It could get the job done. As you get up to 10, 20 clients, I found softwares to be super useful. I'll put it this way. I've tried a lot of them. There's a lot of them out there. The one that I love, both for optimization software and reporting, Chris, is Optimizer. I would love for them to sponsor this show because this is an AdWords audience and they sell an AdWords software. And I'm a 100% believer in it, Chris. And they have an excellent reporting solution, in my opinion. So I want everyone to do me a favor. I highly recommend this software. It's Optimizer. Just Google Optimizer AdWords Management Software and tell them.
You want to spell that for them? Because I always forget. Yeah. It's spelled differently.
Yeah, I'll give you guys the domain name. It's, let's see here. It's not optimistic. It is O-P-T-M-Y-Z-R. O-P-T-M-Y-Z-R. Optimizer. And you just put that in optmyzr.com. I'm telling you guys 100% honestly, they're not a sponsor right now. This is just my opinion. But I love their software. I love their reporting software. So if you use it based on this recommendation, if you give it a try, send them a message and tell them Jason from the Paid Search Podcast pointed you their way. So that's my best answer, Paula. I would look into Optimizer pretty seriously, Chris. So now, speaking of giving all our secrets away, so we go broke, Brian asked, what was like for both? Oh, Chris, you know how I read everyone's questions just the way they type
that them? Was not Brian. Brian, I know you're a big fan.
You typed this. Look at the way Chris types
it. I mistyped it.
What was like for both of you when you started your businesses? How you obtained clients? And when you knew you could sustain yourself and your families off of your new career. So he's basically asking us, what was it like when you started? How did you get clients? And how did you sustain yourself and your families off of your new career. So, Chris, not too interested in getting into how I get clients, but I can we can answer a few of these things. So I'll let you kind of take the – you'll lead the slow dance.
Sure.
And I'll be in your arms, hands on the waist.
Well, let me – it's difficult, you know, because every person's going to have a different instance. And here's my thoughts. For me, I was offered an opportunity. Honestly, I was fired from my job. I was doing management for a PPC agency, and it was a bad situation. They had some bad managers, and the guy would literally hire and fire someone every 6 months, and I didn't know that when I took the job. The guy would just – He would start just, oh, this guy's great. And then he'd start telling him to do things that are really shady. And he'd eventually get mad at him and he'd fire him. And I fell into that position. So I got fired. And then another manager from that company said, hey, I have a side job for you. He liked me. He was sad to see me go, but he had no way to stop it from happening. He said, I have a side project for you. And it was such a great opportunity. I ended up taking it. And that led to, you know, me doing some stuff for him on the side. And then I did some other things on the side and started working from home. And that's how I started my company, by doing that back in January 2009. So my thoughts are this. What it was like when I started was I was offered something that was – I was unable to pass up the opportunity. I know there's probably a lot of listeners out there that would love – to get started on something like this. And I would say if you're offered something that seems like a great opportunity that can launch you, that's the time to do it. It may not be a right time to do it if you're in a solid career choice or you're doing something, because here's the thing, life comes in phases and everybody starts at one point and things change. If I look back 10 years ago, life is barely recognizable 10 years ago than it is now. I mean, I've had kids. I'm living in a new city.
You talk to me every week?
Yeah. I know Jason. You know, obviously things have gone up. So take life in phases and in seasons as it comes, and don't get hung up on what you want to do, but wait for the right opportunity. When it comes, jump on it and do it and go hard for it and try and get there. But don't jump ship too quick, because it is difficult. Jason and I are doing this podcast because we're managing companies and we beat the odds. We're right. Not the normal. I know a lot of people who don't make it this far, been doing it this long and being able to do it full time. So if you have the chance, go for it, but wait for that right opportunity.
That's great advice, Chris. I would say I would throw two things out there. The first one is I got my own business kind of job working for myself from getting a job first. I worked for a website / digital marketing agency locally. Was not a good situation, just like you, Chris, wasn't happy there. But I saw things. I learned things. I saw opportunities. We were doing SEO. All of a sudden, a client wants to run a huge AdWords campaign. We had never done that before. And I said, AdWords, what's that? And started learning about it, doing it. And that's kind of where I got started. So I would say get a job, work for someone else in the industry, and see what opportunities you can find. And then the second thing, I'd recommend a couple books for you. Choose Yourself by James Altucher, and then Choose Yourself Guide to Wealth by James Altucher. Those things, if you read them and you get a job working for someone else, you can kind of find your own path, and those books help me a lot. So best of luck to you, Brian. Chris, with that said, I think this was a very instructive Q&A. If anyone wants to ask us their AdWords and now career questions, Facebook, Twitter, and our website, that's where we collect all these questions. And you can find everything at paidsearchpodcast.com. On the contact page, you can ask us questions and it links to all our social media. We appreciate the questions.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, keep them coming in. We plan to do these questions on the regular, you know, maybe once every 2 months, once every month if we get a lot. But thanks, guys. We appreciate you guys listening. Jason, I believe you got a couple housekeeping items, right? You always no, say
we just
it.
Went through them, but
you don't.
Yeah, I got them off. I mean, I can be. Can we can do housekeeping? Chris, I would just tell everyone go check out our YouTube channel. We put extra content on there. It is free, and that channel is growing pretty quickly, Chris. And then the last thing, guys, like Chris said, we give everything away so we can go broke. But you know what? We're going to be popular when we're broke, Chris. We just want more listeners. So we thank you guys for ruining us. And all we ask in return is that you just share the show with friends and colleagues. And that's how we've gotten to do this for a year here, Chris. I think it's just word of mouth, and it really does matter.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll be back next week.